Good afternoon. It is 3:03 p.m., June 5th, 2024. This is an informal hearing on an application from True Connect, True Connect Communications Incorporated regarding ETC status. And as I said, this is an informal hearing. Here at the table with me are Commissioners Sherry Haugenhoffert and Julie Fedorchek, along with Mr. Brian Johnson and Mr. Victor Shook. Jason is running the telecommunications. Who is online from True Connect?
Good afternoon. My name is Danielle Perry, and I'm the Chief Compliance Officer with True Connect. With me today, I have Alex Razor, who's our Vice President of Compliance and Regulatory, as well as Deborah Mercer, who's our outside counsel.
Okay. First of all, thanks for accommodating us on the time change today. Some other important commission stuff, so we really appreciate that. I want to emphasize this is an informal hearing, so it involves only undisputed details. If we run into details that are disputed, we'll have to wrap this up and issue a notice of hearing. I didn't ask, did either of you commissioners have any opening comments? Okay. With that, in informal hearings, the applicant goes first, so I'll turn it over to you, Danielle, or to whoever else wants to take over.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having us today, and welcome the opportunity to share more with you about our company. So the name of our company is True Connect. We've been in the industry for close to 20 years in the Lifeline space. We started as a wireline provider, providing home phone service to low-income Americans, and then transitioned into the wireless space when that became available in the program. We're headquartered in Los Angeles, California. California is the largest state that we operate in. We have about 500,000 subscribers there, and that's primarily because it's the state we've been in the longest and is our home state. So we have a very strong presence there. We are the only company in this space that's family owned and operated and privately held. So we like that. It's a nice company, and we do a lot of good for the communities that we're in. We've been in about 9 states. True Connect has, but over the last year, we've decided to expand our footprint. So we're currently in 16 states with petitions pending in 24 other states, including your wonderful state of North Dakota. We utilize the T-Mobile and Verizon network to serve the consumers that enroll with us for Lifeline. We offer a free product to those consumers. They receive every month unlimited voice and text, along with 4.5 gigabytes of data. They don't pay anything for that service. We provide this service to these consumers using various distribution channels. And over the years, we've developed a very sophisticated online marketing process. So we do a lot of online marketing to drive traffic to our website to get consumers to enroll that way. And then we also have in-person distribution where enrollment representatives will be out in the community. They may be at a grocery store or a church, a community center, the Department of Health and Human Services, the DMV, wherever, you know, they feel like they might be able to get in touch with consumers that would qualify for the program. That's where they would be. They're typically set up in a True Connect branded tent that's clearly identifiable, and they assist consumers with enrollments in that way. We do understand that North Dakota has approximately 75,000 households that qualify for the Lifeline program, and only 9% of those households are currently participating in the program. So we look forward to the opportunity to be able to hopefully help some of those low-income consumers get connected to the Lifeline program. I think that's it for my introduction. I wasn't sure exactly how to prepare, so I hope that provides you with some of the information you're looking for.
Danielle, what was your title again? Chief what?
Compliance officer.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So in your filing, you mentioned some focus on rural areas that are predominantly underserved. Your wording for that. Have you looked at a map of our telecommunications services and explain to me your opinion that our rural areas are predominantly underserved?
We find in most areas that rural communities are underserved. And so perhaps it was a blanket statement. I'm not intimately familiar with North Dakota and your rural communities. But overall, we do find that rural communities are underserved. And we find that when we go into a state where we are able to provide coverage in that area, we have, you know, success in enrolling consumers. And I think the rural communities are underserved just simply because the network's not there. As a side note, I do a lot of work in DC advocating for ACP and broadband connectivity. And that, as you know, is one of the major focuses right now in that space, is to bring connectivity to rural areas.
But if the network isn't there, how are you going to serve them?
Well, that's one of the reasons we want to be in your state, is because we are a little unique to other providers, because we do offer service using both the Verizon and the T-Mobile network. So I believe that gives us an advantage to reach more people than the average provider would be able to.
So you've done all this homework to know that there's 75,000 subscribers, in your opinion, that qualify for mm-hmm. Lifeline services, and less than 10% of them make use of that qualification. How mm-hmm. many other providers are already approved by this commission to fill that space?
There are, that's a great question. One moment, and I will tell you that exactly. I had it this morning and I closed it out. Just give me a moment.
Yeah, Danielle, based on our research, I know we identified 33 providers within the state of North Dakota.
Well, for wireless, and so I'm going to just speak to wireless. For wireless providers, there are a handful, maybe 12 wireless providers. And when I look at the number of subscribers each of those providers are serving, the provider that serves the most wireless consumers is only serving 1,500 wireless subscribers. I won't go in, I don't want to mention names. It's a competition, but this information is easily available on USAC.org to see who's providing what service in, you know, in all of the different states in the United States. So the person or the company that has the most subscribers on the wireless section of this space is only serving 1,500 consumers in your state.
And so what is it about your plan that is going to be so much more effective at getting these people to sign up? Because lots of them are using Verizon and T-Mobile.
Well, we're just better at it, to be perfectly honest with you, not to sound arrogant, but we've been doing this for a very long time, and we've had success, tremendous success, in a lot of other states. We just feel like we can do a better job at getting those subscribers. Maybe we do that by making relationships with different community organizations. We've requested tribal designation, so we'll obviously be working with the tribal authorities as well. We just take a different approach. We like to get into the community and learn more about the community and be able to just really become a part of it and reach out and provide the service in that way.
So I think I like the sounds of that, being in the community. So you're going to have people hired here living in North Dakota and being available to service mm-hmm. customers.
We will have enrollment representatives available in North Dakota to service the consumers. At this time, we don't have any plans to open stores necessarily in North Dakota. Typically, when we go into a market, if we find that there's growth and that it would support having a retail location, those are things that we consider. But initially, when we launch into a market, we have in-person distribution as well as online distribution.
So on the document you filed on February 28th, I'm just looking for a note here. On the third page, it says you're currently designating and operating in 7 states. And today you said 16.
We've been very successful.
Those other nine were all added in the last 3 months?
That's correct.
And you're seeking a waiver from North Dakota's directory requirement?
That is correct. As a wireless provider, we would request that.
Either of you have any questions?
Mine is just, if granted this designation, and when you talk about sending enrollment representatives to the state of North Dakota, would you be willing to share with us when you're sending them in location?
Sure, we'd love to.
Okay, thanks.
Would that be, no problem, and just to clarify, would that be on a one-time, so we get designation and we say, okay, we have this group of people now that will be in your state and here's where they'll be operating. Is that like a one-time request, or are you requesting that as we add resources that we notify you? I'd like clarity on that, please.
I guess I would look at the initial enrollment period, how you're looking at doing that, just where you're at as far as sure. locations, and based on your presentation on what you briefly outlined for us. But yeah, I would say my request is just one time.
Okay, wonderful. We could certainly do that.
I don't have any questions.
Okay, so Nathan Johnson is not online.
Mr. Johnson is not online. He's one of our co-CEO. He and his brother own the company, and I handle all of the compliance and regulatory matters for the company.
Okay, because he signed the certification, which is exhibit one that you submitted. Then exhibit two is the FCC approved compliance plan and revised compliance plan. So you're familiar with those?
I am.
Do you have it handy?
I don't have it pulled up. Did you have a specific question related to it?
Yeah, who's Telscape Communications?
Okay. Telscape was the name of the company originally when it started, and we changed our name to TrueConnect, I believe, in 2012.
So do you have a new compliance plan on file with the FCC, or do you continue to use
it? We do. We filed, Deborah, you may be able to speak more to this, but we do have a compliance plan on file. We had the compliance plan on file with Telscape. We filed a name change to TrueConnect back in 2012. And we recently, I want to say in the last year or two, we updated our compliance plan, just changing some of the details and the terms and conditions in that plan. But Deborah, do you want to speak more to that?
Sure. Yeah. So we, the FCC did approve the plan as Telscape. When the name was changed, the only requirement is to just update the FCC, which we did. And I believe, you know, if you would like, we have, we could send you a link to the FCC acknowledging that they received our notice, that include the name change. Behind the compliance plan is a second notice, I believe it's dated April 10th, 2023, that we may have added as part of that exhibit two. And that speaks to, as Danielle was saying, some of the just procedures that were updated due to a change in the FCC's rules. And it does refer to the name change there as well.
I think the big thing that we updated in there was that we referred to the old compliance plan, talked about how we would determine eligibility for a consumer, and with the national verifier coming online, that's no longer a provider's responsibility. Eligibility is determined in the national verifier. So that was one of the key items that we updated in that compliance plan.
And I think another thing that I am now imagining was probably updated. But in this compliance plan, it is not about unlimited text and unlimited voice. And so this concerns me. We get a letter saying, yeah, it's unlimited text, unlimited voice. But then the compliance plan suggests something completely different.
Yeah, so we're not... Sorry, go ahead, Danielle.
That's okay. The compliance plan isn't required to be updated as you change your product offering. The federal Lifeline program is mandated by the minimum service standards that are set by the FCC. Sometimes that's annually. In the last few years, there hasn't been a change in the minimum service standards. I believe today the requirement in the program is 1,000 minutes of voice and text isn't even a requirement, but I think you're required to provide 1,000 minutes of voice and 4.5 gigabytes of data. We believe that consumers should have access to unlimited voice and text, so that's what we provide, and then we meet the minimum requirement for 4.5 gigs of data. But again, as long as you're meeting those minimum service standards, there's no requirement to update your compliance plan.
But the request today for this filing with us includes unlimited texts and voice.
That's correct. That's our offering.
Okay. Victor or Brian, did either of you have questions?
I have a few things if you're done.
I think I am.
So that's why I like to confirm some of the detail within the filings. So the area you're asking to be designated for encompasses the entire state of North Dakota, including tribal areas. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. What is your current customer count, if you know it, both nationwide and then if you currently, you're not prevented from serving in North Dakota right now. You're just prevented from offering Lifeline service in North Dakota. So
Correct. Assuming
you may have at least a small presence already. So
if we do have it.
So sorry, just to kind of finish that thought up. So if you know your total U.S. customer count and if you know your current North Dakota customer count.
Okay. I don't know our total current United States count. I apologize, wasn't prepared for that. I do know in California we have over 500,000 subscribers. In North Dakota, my goodness, I've said that all day today, every time I've thought about this hearing. In North Dakota, we do have about 500 subscribers that we serve today, mainly in the Affordable Connectivity Program.
Okay. And then nationwide, do you have like a ballpark? So if California is about 500,000, are you talking 750,000 or closer to a million?
I was going to say probably close to 750 would be my guess.
Okay. And then just, I think yesterday, I'm honestly not even sure what the date is today, but sometime this week you filed a amended certification to order provisions. And we've been in hearings this week, so I haven't had a chance to kind of compare the difference between what was sent to you versus what your amended version says. Would you like to speak to what your proposed edits are to that document?
Sure, Deborah, would you like to speak to that?
Yes, I can do that. I'm just pulling it up. Yes. I mean, the edits basically speak to the fact that TrueConnect is a wireless carrier versus a wireline. So the standard certification, I believe in paragraph one, focused on describing the service area in terms of a wireline company's wire centers. So what TrueConnect proposes is to do a service area description based on zip codes and consistent with its the coverage area maps of its underlying carriers. And I mean, I think that was really the main change that was made to the usual certification. Okay. I don't have the original one in front of me to like go back and forth.
Sure.
But if you have no further questions as you go through that, I'm happy to provide reasoning for the changes.
And this wouldn't need to be filed, but if you'd have like a red line that kind of shows the differences that you could email to me. And this is Victor.
I can certainly do that.
Okay. I'd appreciate that just so I can
kind
of review those proposed edits. It's something we've just seen in the last couple of ETC applications that we've received. I've used that same document for probably the last decade, and I think about a month or two ago was the first time anyone's requested any modifications to it. So the commission hasn't approved a case with the modified version yet. So I just want to make sure we're reviewing all of those differences.
Sure, I'll send that to you.
Appreciate that. I think that's all the questions I have for the time being.
Brian, did you have anything?
Nothing for me.
One more time, Commissioner?
No.
Okay. I think that concludes our work here for the most part. Are there any objections to the evidence produced today becoming part of the record? And when I say the evidence, I guess you didn't hand anything out new, so basically it would be the recording of our discussion?
No objection.
None from staff.
Okay. Hearing none, the evidence will become part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record? True Connect, any other matters?
No, sir. Thank you.
And Brian?
Thank you.
None from staff.
Okay. This informal hearing is closed. Thank you for your time this afternoon. And again, I want to emphasize that. Thank you for accommodating us on the time change.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for your time. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.